I'm Chris Dovey. I'm an executive director of Code VA and a former newspaper reporter.
When did you first meet Jim?
I first met Jim when he and I both left the Richmond Times-Dispatch on the same night. We didn't leave. Well, I guess our exit party was on the same night. It was at Penny Lane Pub, and he was upstairs and I was downstairs, and eventually the ad and news people mingled. Mm-hmm. Although, they never mingle.
Right. They're not supposed to mingle.
But we mingled, and everybody's like, hey, you don't know Jim? I had never met Jim in the 5 years that I was at the Times this week. Everybody knows Jim. Mm-hmm. And the whole world knows Jim. And I met Jim, and Jim was amazing. He was, and I at that point was like, well, it was nice knowing you. I'll never see you again.
Right.
Because we're both leaving this place. And he stayed kind of a constant after that.
And then you were you there with him at Style Weekly?
He hired me at Style Weekly, and then he left. He was very excited about having hired me, and then was gone within maybe 4 months, mm-hmm. 6 months of me starting. He kept talking about how it's great to have hired you. I'll see you later.
Right.
And again, I thought that would be the last time I saw him, because he was going into the classroom. He was going to be a newspaper. He was going to be a teacher. He mm-hmm. really, really wanted to go back into the class, or not back, but he wanted to go into the classroom to help.
Anyone else had done that, I would be like, what? But it actually made sense. It made sense with Jim. He was that kind of guy where it seemed like he was always teaching, nurturing, bringing people together. Speak to that, because a lot of people have talked about that.
He was really passionate about helping people. He was really passionate about helping people who often otherwise are marginalized. Mm-hmm. And the school that he chose to go into, of course, was Blackwell Elementary, and Blackwell is about as marginalized as marginal can get. It was a tough experience for him. I talked to him a lot over the years while he was teaching, or the year, 2 years that he was teaching.
Yeah.
And
when did you first become aware of his musical abilities, his musical prowess?
It literally emanates and flows from him. You would just see him and go, that guy's clearly the best guitarist in Richmond.
Yeah.
Now I think the first, so he was a part of Hamaganza.
Right.
And that's a benefit concert.
For how many years was that going on?
I was involved for about 15, I think. Mm-hmm. And he was involved, he tells me, from the start. I think he was at the first Hamaganza.
Yeah.
Or within like a year or so of Hamaganza starting.
Right.
Too many years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made an awful lot of people sound good too.
He was one of the secret weapons of making that show work, because the whole idea of it during the years that I was involved in it was basically distract from the singing in any way that you can. So we would have the best backing band that we could possibly come up with, and Jim was a key part of that until, I guess, he was done with it the year before I was done with it. And he counseled me quite a lot you should be done with this too. And so I was. I mm-hmm. took his advice. It was hard pulling out of it, but and then Jim was one key element of it, and then the singers were always our local, and I'm doing air quotes, celebrities. So it would be city council people and
local news people, weather people,
and Joe Morrissey wearing a dress and singing Love Is Strange,
Charlie Dierdor singing New York,
that's great stuff. It was terrible.
Talk about Jim's sense of humor, because everyone comments on how he could just break up a meeting with just a one-liner.
So I suck at jokes.
Yeah,
I can never remember a joke.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks. I like to think of myself as funny, but I think it's just a dry, stupid drollness rather than funny.
Yeah.
Jim, he always had a joke. There was not a moment where he couldn't fill it with something hilarious. And it was one of the things when I would talk with Jim that really, frankly, it made me feel inadequate. because he was so on and smart mm-hmm. and funny and kind of able to, not in a way that was like overtaking conversation or anything. He wasn't that guy who overpowered conversation. He was just the person that made the conversation worthwhile.
Yeah. Right. There was nothing mean about it either.
No
meanness in that humor at all.
No, I can't think of any time that he was mean. No.
as somebody who, I mean, you're out in the community, you've done a lot of different things, working, collaborating with people. Talk about the importance of having someone like Jim in the community who's able to bring so many different people together in so many different ways.
You know, I was always surprised to find, you know, oh, here's something that's happening. Oh, Jim's involved, you know, and in areas and ways that I, you know, either expected or didn't expect. You know, when he went into public ed, that was one of those when he first announced that he was doing that. I was like, oh, OK, well, it's not surprising, but at the same time, it's surprising.
Yeah.
The folk festival is obviously one of these kind of key things that he was so deeply involved in and that I was in no way surprised with. He was a, you know, knew so much about music, could play literally any style of music and probably could just walk on stage with almost anybody that was not playing like a didgeridoo. Although he could probably come up with a pretty good lick to go along with that. Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's like, I can back that.
Right. Any other thoughts on Jim?
Probably a lot for a long time. It'd be hard not to think about Jim and thinking about, you know, here's this thing happening. Oh, Jim was involved in that.
Yeah. It seems like all the cool stuff we do around here, he was somehow involved.
Yeah.
So how are we going to fill that hole?
We're not good at potholes either around here, so I don't know. We'll ask the city to take care of it.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in, Chris.
Yeah. Happy to be here. Thank you.